Lord, I just pray that you open my mouth, fill my words with the words that you have for us, and open our hearts and minds to hear those words that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever had a time in your life that something happened to you or something happened around you that was so exciting? It was just so thrilling and exciting that you just couldn't keep it in. You had to tell everybody. You ever had that happen to you? I see James shaking his head, nodding yes. You know, this last fall, I had a similar situation. My son Paul here, he played football. Now, Paul is not the largest of all guys. He's a high school sophomore this year. And playing football as a high school sophomore for the first time in your life isn't always the best plan. Paul didn't get to play very often. In fact, it was often very painful for his mother and I and his brothers and sisters to go to his football games, because when he was in, for every play that he was in, maybe one or two each game, he got pushed around a little bit. Well, there was a game late in the season. His team was losing 20-0. It was a typical game for Paul. He hadn't seen the field on the offensive end at all. And there was about 20 seconds left in the game. Paul gets into the game. They hike the ball. And they just throw the ball as far as the quarterback could throw it. Paul's coming in. All of a sudden I look. There's Paul. Ball's coming. There's Paul. There's a defender right next to Paul. Paul jumps up, bounces off the defender, catches the ball, turns, rushes in, and scores a touchdown. It was exciting. You know, we have an announcer, and his team also wasn't very good. They didn't win very many games. But let me tell you, that was probably the most exciting play of the whole season. I couldn't keep it in. The announcer couldn't keep it in. If any of you know me, I'm more of a Facebook lurker. I don't post a lot of things on Facebook. I posted the video of Paul scoring his touchdown. I put it on Facebook. I told everybody I know about Paul scoring his touchdown. I'm sure not, you know, you've probably all heard this once or twice about him scoring his touchdown, right? I couldn't keep it in. Have you ever had a situation like that where you just had to tell everybody about Paul's touchdown or something that happened to you? Maybe it was Michigan scoring that field goal in the Sugar Bowl. Maybe it was something where it was a project that it took you weeks after weeks after weeks, and you finally completed it, and it was good. Have you ever had that situation in your life where you just had to tell somebody? Well, you know, we're going to talk about that today, about a situation that is so exciting that you just have to tell people. In fact, our text today in 1 John, the first reading that we heard, is an even more important experience. It's an even more exciting experience than watching Paul score a touchdown after not playing game after game. An even more experience than we could have ever imagined. The experience of a life-changing encounter. Imagine these disciples. They've been with Jesus for 3 years now. They've been with Jesus week after week, year after year, learning Jesus, following what he has to say. And then, in an instant, their leader, their follower, gets beat up, nailed to a tree, killed, pain and suffering. Imagine being with these disciples. Imagine what was going through their minds during this time. Their life has been turned upside down. A couple days later, a couple women go to the grave. You know the story. You were here last week. Jesus wasn't dead anymore. He rose from the dead. He has conquered death. And because of this, the disciples aren't sure what's going on. Did he really rise from the dead? Is he really? Did somebody maybe steal his body? What is going on? They're all together in the upper room. And Jesus appears to them. We hear that in the second reading, the gospel reading today. Jesus appears to these disciples. He is alive. He has conquered death. All these things now, these puzzle pieces are now coming together. Oh, he has power over death, forgiveness of sins. Because he died, my sins are forgiven. Now I can be in heaven and experience eternal life. Wow! The excitement, the joy. These disciples are ready to go out and shout out, he is risen! Talk about exciting. But do we live our lives that way? Do we live our lives with the excitement and the joy that these disciples must have had? Do we live our lives every day sharing that message, going out with the excitement that these apostles, these disciples must have had? We went through Monday, Thursday. We celebrated a Seder meal. Some of us watched the movie and got to visualize what it was like from Peter's eyes a week and a half ago through the movie, The Apostle Peter. On Good Friday, we looked and we saw the blackness, the darkness, this altar that we can look at with white and excitement, and it was covered with flowers and was beautiful last week. Was not. It was black and dreary. The lights were dim. And last Sunday, we celebrated that Jesus is alive. But do we live our life that way? Well, you know what? If we're going to live our life that way, we have to consider four important parts. The first one is, do we have a message to share? Do we have a message that's important enough to share? You know, I talked about Facebook and that I'm more of a Facebook lurker. I thought it was important enough to share with everybody Paul's touchdown, right? If you're my friends, you all saw that in one of my 10 posts that I posted all year last year. Everybody needed to hear that. Do you have something to share? Do you feel that the message of the Bible, the message of Jesus dying on the cross, rising from the dead, to take away our sins is important enough to share? 1 John 1, verse 1, the epistle lesson that we heard this morning said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. In order to have something to share, we need to have it out of our personal experience. It has to be something that's personal and real to us. You know that when I come up and preach, likely if it's going to be personal to me, I'm going to be talking about those seven kids right there, right? You've kind of heard that, right? Because when you hear from me, something that's important, that's impersonal to me, is these seven kids. I think they once in a while cringe, oh no, Dad's preaching today, what's he going to say about me? I've learned, I prep them now, I tell them what I'm going to say about them. But when you know me, you're going to hear something about my kids. That's who I am. You can't take that out of me. That's important to me. These experiences, these things that happen in our lives, they are what form us. They are what shape our experiences and what we want to share. You know, having kids, or whether you grew up on a farm, whether you're in the service, whether you're working for a medical pharmaceutical company, whatever it is that you do in your life, that is what your experiences are. That's what you share. That's what you talk about. That's what's important to you. But you can't share what you don't have anymore than what you've come back from a place you've never been. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have that love for him that you can share with other folks? Think about that. Have you cultured that relationship? Have you grown closer to him? The second point that I'd like you to consider is you have to have a willingness to share. Verse 2 of 1 John chapter 1 goes on. It says, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which is with the Father and has appeared to us. John was intentional about sharing what he had seen and what he had heard. We too should be active in sharing what we've seen and what we've heard. I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else. I was so excited to share what Paul did on Facebook, but how often do I share with others the love of Jesus? Am I intentional about that on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? Ask yourself those questions. In a magazine a number of years ago, somebody published a list of seven tips for sharing the gospel. Just a starting point, but they're very good tips. I think it's something we can review and think about. Number one, pray to God. Ask God to give you a burden for other folks, for God to give you that burden, to share that message, to know that people are dying every day without hearing this message. Out in the lobby, over on the bookshelf, there's a pamphlet that says Our Priestly Breastplate. On it, it encourages you to write out the names of 12 to 16 different people that are in your circle of influence. And on a daily basis, more than once, pray for them. Pray for their spiritual growth. Pray for opportunities to share God's word with them. Pray for opportunities for folks. One of the challenges that a lot of us give is that I don't know anybody that's not Christian. But we do. We do. Have you ever gone to the grocery store? Do you know that every clerk in there is a believer? Do you know that every clerk in there knows Jesus Christ and has that personal relationship with him? How about the place you fill up with gas or the party store you buy your chips from? Our influence, our circle of influence is a lot greater than we might think. Write the names of those folks down. Even if you only know their name as the clerk at Meijer that I end up checking out with every other time. And pray for that person. Pray for the opportunity to open their hearts, to open their minds, and pray for the opportunity for you to share with them that experience that Jesus is alive. And because he died on the cross, we have that assurance of forgiveness of sins. Look for those opportunities. Number two, live a consistent Christian life before these people. It's one thing to ask God to give you a burden to share his message with them, and then you give an example that's not quite very Christian, right? Live that life that's consistent with what the Bible says. In Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Third thing, build bridges to other people. When the Lord shows those that need Christ, look to build a relationship with them. Remember how Jesus went to the home of Zacchaeus where many sinners had gathered? What did the Pharisees do? They shunned him. They said that was dumb. But Jesus went to Zacchaeus' home. I don't know how God is going to work the end of this story. One of the things that I do that has been different in my life, and it's been a new experience, is I've prayed for the folks down at the Campus Corner gas station. I was forced into a relationship with these people that I probably wouldn't have done on my own had we as a congregation not done a gas buyout, the gas buyout a couple months ago. And in the morning before I come periodically to work, and every Sunday morning I purposely go stop there and buy a Mountain Dew, usually because I'm really tired in the morning and I get here earlier than anybody else, so I need that little extra kick. But it gives me an excuse to talk to the gas station folks there that I know for sure don't have that relationship with Jesus. I have my cross on, and it's given me some opportunities. What's really interesting is over the last couple weeks, they've started asking questions to me. They've started asking me, well, why do you wear that cross? What are you going to talk about today? What's going on at church? I haven't been preaching to them. They were asking me the questions. Look to build relationships. You don't know where God is going to open those doors. The fourth opportunity, learn the gospel. Don't just debate politics. Look for what God has to say for you in the Bible. Study his word. The fifth one, watch for openings to share a word for Christ. We can pray for the opportunity, but if we're not looking for those opportunities, they might pass us by. Look for those opportunities. Number six, if the right opportunity doesn't come naturally, create one. Create that opportunity. Number seven, leave the results with God. Keep praying. It's a great way to start, but remember number one, pray for the folks, pray for God to open those doors. Going back to the four things that we need to do to be sure to share this message, we have to have a motive to share God's word, don't we? That'd be the third point. You have to have a motive to share God's word. Verse 3 of 1 John 1 says, We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John's motive for sharing here is that others might have fellowship with him, as he had fellowship with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He wanted others to experience the same thing that he was experiencing, that same joy, that same excitement. The famous evangelist Billy Sunday was looking for people to tell about Jesus. Since he was going to be in a particular city one day, he went to the mayor. He asked the mayor, "Tell me some names of some people that really need to hear the gospel, who really have some issues going on, that I can pray for them." You know what the mayor did? Pulled out the phone book. "Here you go, Billy." You can laugh and chuckle at that, but isn't it true? Don't we all need to be prayed for? Don't we all need that message? Every single one of us needs to hear God's word. Every single one in this world needs to experience the joy of knowing that Jesus is alive. That excitement that we had last Sunday at Easter, to know that he is alive and conquered death so we can be with him in heaven. Isn't that motive enough to share with others? The fourth one. We're going to talk about this a little bit more than any of the others. Believe it or not, we can have a reward for sharing. You know, we're selfish people by nature, aren't we? There's a story of the old pastor that was getting a little burnt out, so he took a week off. Went golfing. He called in sick, had the elder preach. On the first hole, he had a hole in one. On the second hole, he had a birdie. Third hole, he had an eagle. That's the way his whole day went on. St. Michael, the angel up in heaven, went to God and said, "God, why did you let him have such a great day golfing?" God looked at him and says, "Who's he going to tell?" We are by nature selfish people. But we can have a reward for sharing. Verse 4 in 1 John 4 says, "We write this to make our joy complete." Sharing the story makes our joy complete. As you know me, other than my kids, the other thing that I really enjoy talking about is this little program called Upward. There's nothing more exciting when you see a kid that hasn't known Jesus in their life. And because of the message that you or somebody that you know has shared with them, that the Holy Spirit has opened their heart and their mind and they now know Jesus. What excitement it is that God can fill you with when he has used you as his tool, his instrument to share his love. And now you know that that person has that assurance that they also can be up in heaven. Is that not exciting to know that? Is that not reward enough? As he says in 1 John 1 verse 4 again, we write this to make our joy complete. Jesus wants us to be happy. He wants us to experience joy. In fact, he says in John 10 verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Is there any greater joy in your life than knowing that your sins, the things that you have done wrong, are forgiven? When you screw up, whether it's against your wife, whether it's against a coworker, whether it's against somebody else, is it not rewarding to know that you are forgiven when they forgive you? Is that not freeing and exciting? Don't you want to share that with others? Most people live for ourselves. Our ideas and goals and plans revolve around us. It's okay to reap some rewards, to get some blessings. There's a prayer booklet that we keep out there for you. We encourage you to take one home and use for your personal Bible study on a daily basis. Years and years ago, in one of the old Our Daily Breads, there was a story that kind of highlights how selfish some of us are. There's a couple old widowers that were having their everyday afternoon dinner together. And it got to a point where at the restaurant, they would order the same thing. But one day, the waiter brought the plate back, and on it, it had one large piece of meat and one small piece of meat. First guy grabbed it and decided, well, I'm going to give the other guy the small piece of meat and I'm going to keep the big piece of meat. And of course, the guy that was getting the smaller piece of meat says, are you kidding me? You're going to give me the small piece? How come you're not giving me the large piece of meat? The other gentleman responds and says, what would you have done? Well, I would have given you the big piece of meat. Perfect. That's the way it worked out now, didn't it? We do live for ourselves. But God gives us rewards and joys. We're very often the same way, aren't we? Looking out for ourselves. We prefer to do what we want, not what we can do for other people. We often are so self-centered and looking in, but Jesus didn't come to be served, did he? He came to serve other people. As we talked about on Monday, Thursday, when we celebrated the Seder meal together, Jesus didn't expect his disciples to come and wash his feet, did he? No, he went and washed the feet of all the disciples. He was a servant to them. Christ came to make our joy complete, our joy full. It's our turn. It's our turn to share that joy, to serve others. Joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Get that little acronym? Joy equals Jesus first, others second, yourself third. Today, we see the fulfillment of joy in the letter that John wrote. When we read in John 20 in the gospel lesson today, the joy that those disciples must have experienced. Could you imagine being in that room? Those disciples are huddled together, not knowing what was going to happen next. They were wondering if those Roman soldiers were going to come accuse them of stealing the body of Jesus. Whether they did it or not, they knew that they were targets. They were wondering what was going to happen next. Their leader, the person that they devoted their whole life for the last 3 years, was now dead, or so they thought. And now, Jesus is alive. Could you imagine the joy that was going on in that room? When all the puzzle pieces are coming together, the light bulb goes on, the Spirit has filled them, and they now know that they need to share this message with others. Could you imagine being in that room? We are. We are in that room. So I ask you, where is your joy? Where is that joy? You know, I'm not going to hide the fact that I know that many of us are experiencing difficult things, unspeakable frustrations in our life that often fill that place that should be joyful. But when we focus on Jesus first, others second, and yourself third, we remember that Jesus died on the cross. He took that punishment for us that we can be forgiven. How exciting is that? But don't stop there. We want our joy to be complete, right? Our joy can be complete by sharing that message with others. When we remember that message that Jesus is alive, he is risen. What else could be there? What else can fill that hole for us when we know that we are forgiven? When we know that Jesus died on the cross? What else can we do but share that with others? Post it on YouTube, put it on Facebook, and tell everybody we know that Jesus is alive. Amen.